To Team Monty, Lieutenant Michael E. Johnson, Staff Sergeant Aaron M. Kenefick, Corpsman 3rd Class James R. Layton, and to all the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, Gunnery Sergeant Edwin W. Johnson, Jr., Staff Sergeant Kenneth W. Westbrook, Mary Kate Moore, Justin Nathaniel Harden. The Battle of Ganjigal resulted in the largest loss of American advisors, the highest number of distinguished awards for valor, and the most controversial investigations for dereliction of duty in the entire Afghanistan war. This is the story of a man who was awarded the Medal of Honor for his bravery in that battle. Introduction. Along the Afghan-Pakistan border. Summer 2009. Lieutenant Mike Johnson, our team leader, leaned his head way back next to my knees and shouted up the turret hole to me.
We're gonna love it here. Look at those mountains, Meyer. Heavy stuff. Let's go hiking.
He was yelling over the diesel grind of our Humvee's engine and the deep drumming of our heavy iron suspension and the clatter of the gun turret as I cranked the 50 cal back and forth, chasing my suspicions around the landscape from one likely ambush spot to the next. To man the machine gun atop a Humvee, you stand up through a hole in the roof. Your legs are behind the guys in the front seat. We were roaring through the steep valleys of the Hindu Kush. The Khyber Pass was to the southeast of us, the famed route from the Western world into Pakistan and then India. We were heading north, away from the Khyber, along a river road you wouldn't want to travel without us. Convoys like ours often get rained on by bullets and RPG shells, rocket-propelled grenades. The local drivers of big civilian trucks will then panic, understandable, and swerve and crash into each other, and tip over and catch on fire and block the narrow highway. The lieutenant and I had become friends during our weeks of training in California's high Sierras. He'd try to beat me to the top of a ridge at the end of each day. And then we'd build a lean-to for the night, boil our ramen rice noodles, and sleep under a zillion stars. You couldn't beat his enthusiasm. His specialty was communications. Riding now in the Humvee shotgun seat, he had control of two radios stacked one on top of the other, one for the convoy, and one in contact with a command post, which was 10 miles back. So he was paying attention to all that and to the risks around us and, as usual, said something funny to lighten us up, which makes you more alert. Fear slows down your logic circuits, gives you tunnel vision, and triples your heart rate, which isn't helpful in modern combat. A good leader keeps you from getting too scared. I scan the bleak ridgelines, the big boulders and small caves, scrawny trees and thorny underbrush, all offering cover for snipers. You look for movement or a reflection. Gone were the stands of soaring green fir trees I'd seen in postcards at the airport. I would soon learn that a common English word that had made it into the Pashto language was chainsaw. For decades, the mountain tribes had been cutting down their forests and selling the timbers to their rich Pakistani neighbors.
I'm telling you, Meyer, Johnson said, I'm going to be a forest ranger and live the good life.
More likely, he'd wind up in Silicon Valley, not hidden away in some wilderness, I thought. He was the only married man on our team and had been living on Okinawa with his wife. Truthfully, I couldn't figure out why he had volunteered to be an advisor in the first place. The Afghan army used Radio Shack-type handheld radios, far below his technical skills. He had mentioned Marine traditions in his family. Being a leader was one of them. Staff Sergeant Aaron Kenefick was our staff NCO, non-commissioned officer. The way it works is your lieutenant, which in our case was Lieutenant Johnson, is your leader. Your staff NCO is more the administrator. Staff Sergeant Kenefick was the old man at age 30 and considered himself the ramrod of our outfit. I had sized him up as your typical platoon sergeant, serious, squared away, and by the book. A true New Yorker, he loved his Yankees and kidded me about my Kentucky accent, which isn't an accent at all, but just the way real Americans talk. Our Navy Corpsman was Doc Layton, more formally Hospital Man 3rd Class James Layton. As a 22-year-old boot, what you're called on your first tour, he kept his medical supplies in meticulous order